It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Kia ora, Mayor Phil Goff. How are you this morning?
Morena, I'm great, thanks, Rachel. I'm just looking forward in a half hour's time to going down and getting my second COVID-19 injection.
Awesome.
Looking forward. It may not be exactly how I feel about it at the moment, but it's the important thing to do, and just want to encourage everybody. I know we're going to talk about this later in the program, but really important for everybody that's eligible to get it now to take up that opportunity. We've got a lot of vaccine around at the moment, so no excuse for any of us who are eligible not going down and getting that jab.
Well, let's start with talking about that then, since we're on the subject matter. We're seeing also the first mass vaccination event rolling out in South Auckland. How has the uptake for this been, and what has the messaging been to sort of, I guess, encourage people to come to this?
Yeah, look, I think it's important that we do have mass vaccination events, but the uptake initially I think was pretty disappointing. They were looking at doing 15,000 people over the 3 days at the Vodafone Event Centre, and it was focused on the Manukau Institute of Technology, students and their families and staff and their families, particularly because there was a high percentage of Māori and Pacifica students at that institute. Initially, I think they only got about 3,000 appointments. And, you know, when I see all these stories about people saying, hey, look, we want to get it, we can't get it, why are we waiting? I think probably they'll be looking at how they organise the publicity around it and how they've organised the event. I did hear some commentary this morning that they've now gone out much more widely and they're still hoping to do the full 15,000. But the fact of the matter is, look, we need as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible. We had 1 million doses delivered in July, and next month it'll be 1.5 million. So the earlier problem, which was the shortage of supply of the Pfizer vaccination, no longer exists. Currently, I think there's about 835,000 scheduled bookings under Book My Vaccine, mainly from Group 3, which is people aged over 65, if I've got my and vulnerable groups. And what have we got to at the moment? I think we're up to about 1.5 million vaccinations have been delivered. But you've only got to look over the Pacific at Fiji to see the devastating impact that's having, including on a young mums. Three young mums died that were pregnant. You know, that's an absolute tragedy. I was looking at Indonesia. 150 kids, half of them under five, have died of COVID. So for people out there, maybe we're just getting a bit complacent because we're relatively safe in New Zealand. Look, we all need to get that vaccination. So my message today to all of your listeners is, when your time comes up, please make sure you get the vaccination.
Now, there has been some reports from our listeners that trains aren't running out to Manukau this weekend, which seems not necessarily very helpful considering we have got this big push to get people out there. What's the council doing to mitigate that situation?
The trains are suspended at the moment on the weekends while they do the last of the repair work, and that's going to take us through till probably next, maybe 1 weekend more after this.
It seems like unfortunate timing for this. What is the council going to be doing to make sure people can get out there?
Yeah, well, I think that the trains have been replaced by buses over the period of time that they're not working. I haven't got the details of that, Rachel, you know, what they're aiming to do, I think, with having it at Vodafone, it's focused on the local area, and hopefully as many of people as possible can come locally. It's at the Vodafone Centre, and busing from the Manukau Institute of Technology in Manukau itself. So that people can go to Manukau and bus into the Vodafone Centre, or they can go straight to the Vodafone Centre. And parking ought not to be an issue there because it's got thousands of car parks. Obviously, it's an event centre, and that's why the vaccination is being held there.
And are we going to see more of these larger scale rollouts in other parts of Auckland? Because if it's difficult for people to get out to Manukau, obviously, as you say, this is targeting a specific community that lives in that area. But are we going to see that kind of targeting for other communities in Auckland?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. We certainly need that to meet the targets that have been set. Now that we've got the vaccine, how can we get as many vaccinations done as possible? Well, you know, there are the normal centres. I'm just going across the road here to the Stanford and to the Crown Plaza Hotel. I took my wife down to Manurewa Marae, and she got vaccinated the other day. And those centres work really well. We've also got some companies now. Mainfreight is going to vaccinate all of their workers on a particular. They'll give workers time off during their working day to go there, get the vaccination, recover from it, etc. GPs are now in increasing numbers able to do the jab, and then the mass vaccinations will be on top of that. So I think, you know, look, this is being organised through the district health boards, so I'm not directly involved in the organisation of it, but it's really important that we maximise the opportunities and we use up to the capacity of the vaccines that we have in stock to cope. And as I said before, there's a whole lot of vaccine in stock at the moment, so this is the time when we really need to ramp up. Mm. And people need to make their bookings, and obviously they've done so. Well over 800,000 on the Book My Vaccine list, waiting for their appointment now.
Well, we'll be probably touching base with how that's gone in the coming weeks. But let's talk a little bit about Putaki Bay and the ongoing demonstrations that we're seeing there. On Friday, we saw the protesters from Putaki Bay make their way to outside Auckland Council offices in the centre of town to call on the council to revoke a resource consent for the marina, which has been proposed for Kennedy Point on Waiheke Island. Now, you didn't meet with those protesters, and you've also...
I was at another engagement, and I probably wouldn't have met with them anyway, because what they're asking for is not within the legal capacity of the council. I've said it before on this program, but I'll say it again, and I'll say it to the Protect Putaki group. The council, I've got strong legal advice saying we have no legal authority to withdraw the resource consent. That resource consent has now been approved at every level of our court system, mm-hmm. up to the highest level, the Supreme Court. And I don't know what it is that they don't understand, but council has to operate under the law.
Though, you know, great concern from a large group of people within the Auckland Council district as well. Is there going to be any kind of conversation between the Auckland Council and these groups going forward, even if perhaps the way the council can't meet them is exactly in the way that they are wanting, is there going to be any sort of point at which there can be a tabling of these issues in a way that feels like the community is being listened to at least?
Absolutely. I've got three major letters. One is from Ngāti Poa, and I replied to that last week, setting out all of the answering all of the issues that they raised with me. I have a letter from the Protect Putaki group, and I'll be doing a draft reply for them this week. And I have a letter from developers, the developers, Kit Littlejohn, asking for the opposite thing, you know. And I've got emails coming from both sides, one saying get rid of all the protesters, they're breaking the law, and the other one saying, withdraw the consent, which I can't do. So I am answering the people who emailed very unhelpfully had a email reply address that says no reply, so I can't answer them. So I'm not sure why they're flooding my emails. But look, what we are doing, this is the important thing. The council's priority now is to ensure that the rigorous consent conditions, including the revised Korora monitoring and management plan, are complied with.
And how is the council enforcing that down at the marina?
We are monitoring it, and we will enforce it. Those are the conditions
of
the consent.
What does the monitoring look like?
That they will be visiting regularly, I think the Department of Conservation likewise. The conditions under the consent must be followed by the developer. And the management plan has been updated, and it's been updated by the independent expert used by the developer in conjunction with the experts that we have on council, and listening to what other people independently, Forest and Bird have had somebody in there. I've said to council, listen to what they're saying, investigate what they're saying, and make the appropriate response. Our commitment is to provide that protection, and that protection will be provided. But we cannot withdraw the resource consent, so please don't ask the council to act illegally, because it cannot and will not do that.
Going into the future, with ongoing issues like this arising, we're seeing that there's perhaps problems with the process from the get-go. Maybe the wrong groups are being addressed at the wrong time, or we're just not seeing enough people at the table in the way that should be perhaps laid out from the start. How is the council going to ensure that in the future there is a bit more transparency about how people can be involved with objecting or submitting on a proposal like this?
Well, people can make submissions during the consent process, and that was widely known. Save Kennedy Point was the major group there. Save Kennedy Point has acknowledged, they've withdrawn their legal action, acknowledging that no further action can be taken. In terms of talking to the right or the wrong groups, there are two particular trust boards claiming to represent Ngāti Poa. Council originally dealt with one because that was the acknowledged group. They are now dealing with both groups. But, of course, one group is arguing in favour of upholding the consent and the other against it.
This is perhaps the point, though, then. How do we make sure that there's more accurate representation of hapū groups and iwi groups? Because, you know, there's no homogeneity necessarily.
I can't and you can't and nobody can tell Ngāti Poa people whether they have put their faith in this group or the other group. Both have legitimate supporters and a legitimate point of view, and we're in that which of those groups should properly represent is a matter, I think, that's before the court at the moment. But while that is being worked out, we are dealing with both groups. That doesn't make it easy, of course. I want to make another point on this. I mean, I've watched the stuff that I've seen on the protest on video, and I watched the first video of a security guard kicking a protester in the face, and I said, that's absolutely bloody appalling. That there should be a charge laid against that. Then I watched the second video, and it might have been the same protester, I'm not 100% sure, but it was the protester kicking a security guard in the face and forcing the security guard between the pile and the boom in a way that he could easily have been killed. And I think the charges should be against both of those people, because that sort of behaviour is
simply intolerable. I'm not sure that this is necessarily a very helpful conversation to have at this juncture, and I am aware that we're running out of time, so I do want to just talk briefly about
helpful or not, that sort of behaviour from either side is not acceptable, and that may or may not be helpful to you, but that's the point I'm making. The police will not tolerate that, and they will charge both parties.
Well, let's just very briefly talk about our last topic this morning, which is the America's Cup. You've defended the spending, talking about the long-term infrastructure that we're seeing out of the America's Cup that was held, you know, in the last few months. What's it going to look like in the future? Do we necessarily need to see a big event to have this kind of infrastructure put into the city? Or would you like to see maybe some new frameworks in which we can get that kind of change without necessarily having to have it attached to a specific event or a specific purpose?
Well, I think, you know, the various America's Cups going right back to the early 2000s have had the real advantage for Auckland of totally changing the Viaduct Basin and the Wynyard Quarter. You know, they are now probably among the most attractive areas in the city. And what I decided in terms of the America's Cup, when the America's Cup made a bid to be hosted here in Auckland, of course you were going to have Team New Zealand defend the Cup in Auckland, that's what always happened. But our position was that we would put money predominantly into infrastructure. So all the things that you can see down there at the moment, you know, the Wynyard Point area that was covered in hazardous substance tanks, those tanks have all been removed. We've seen the water quality around Daldy Street and the stormwater outflow upgraded. We've seen the ferry taken out of that area so that it can be used for water-based sporting events. We've got floating marina infrastructure in place. We've built berths for super yachts and created a new industry that's, I think the Aurums Marina have invested $100 million in there, and over time that creates jobs and it creates Auckland as a centre of excellence for working on yachts. So a whole lot of those things have been really, really helpful. And of course, you know, the Round the World Yacht Race will come in there, we'll have Waka Armour, we'll have Dragon Boat Races, the facilities down there will be utilised for the future, and regardless of whether or not we get the America's Cup back, and you know my view on that, normally the defence would be held here, mm-hmm. and we'd get a return on the infrastructure twice, not just once, particularly since the once was totally undermined by COVID-19. Mm. That infrastructure is permanent and will be valuable to the city.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a good week until then.
Thanks, Rachel. Catch up with you again. Bye.
Kakite, bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.